turn to your scripture and we turn to share together this morning. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us today, you would build us up in these next couple of moments. Lord, we want to thank you for what you're doing among us as a church, but Lord, we are just hungry for so much more, and we ask you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. If this is your first time to Huntingdon Community Church, we'll say a really, really warm welcome. I'm Tim Tamanison, the pastor here. If you'd like to keep in touch, you would like to have more information, you can get details on the information desk in the hallway, and there's also a card that you can fill out, and we can keep in touch, have coffee, or so on and so forth, which is great. Good. We have been on, and we are on, I think, an exciting journey. If you want to turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 16, I just want to reference some of the things that I think God's doing with us. I find real parallels with something that was happening for the early church with Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. And verse 5 it says, "So the churches were strengthened in their faith and they grew larger every day." Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. But then it goes on, "Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas." So they went really right as far as they could go. I was sharing on this several months ago. We had the map. I think it was about a four-month journey that they were on, and they were on support. They'd been supported by the church to be sent out on a missionary trip. And like every place they went, it just wasn't happening for them. And it's like the Holy Spirit restricted them, and they were probably like, "The church is funding for this. How are we doing? Well, we're not doing anything. We're just moving on." And they just kept on traveling until they got to the coast. And they got to the seaport, and they were like, "Okay, so we've come as far as we can on our donkeys. What, Lord, you know, what's going on here?" It's like we've had so much breakthrough. We've seen that in verse 5. So much advance, and yet we've hit a restricted time. And so then, so that night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there, pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave by boat for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Verse 11. So we boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace, and the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there, we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we stayed there for several days. So Philippi was about 12 miles inland, and so they had settled in the just on the coast there. And on the Sabbath, it says in verse 13, that we went a little way outside of the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down with them and we spoke with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth, who worshipped God. And as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. And she was baptized along with other members of her household. And she asked us to be her guests. "But if you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she urged us until we agreed. I love that. We're so gagging all the time to try and get in, but they were being invited in, which is a beautiful story. And I just feel there's some parallels here of the sense of journey that we've been on as a church. And I'd love to share today some news and some updates on the journey that I think we've been on over the last several months, particularly as a leadership team taking responsibility for our journey and what's happening for our next venue and our next steps. And we really do believe that God's got some exciting plans in store. And today, I just felt, before we head in the summer, before we all break to go on holidays, I just wanted to kind of put you into the picture with the stories that are unfolding, with some of the connections that seem to be coming, and just to hold it before us as a church, to say, can we pray? And we'd love some of your input as we are looking at this as a leadership team, as I'm looking at this with our trustees, and we're seeking to make the next steps forward. But I love that in verse 5, it says that they have been experiencing a time of growth and a time of strengthening. And I feel that's been a real parallel of what's been happening for us as a church, probably over the last particularly over the last 8 to 5 years. The Lord has been just strengthening us, reconnecting us. In our time here at 83A, we've been kind of reconnecting together and finding, Lord, what is the stuff that you've put on our heart to be and to give and to be a gift to within our community. And we've been thinking about, Lord, what are some of the core values that shape the culture of who we are as a church? About last September, we sat down with our leadership community and chatting, guys, what are some of the values? What are things that we think are really important about us? What is it that if we're growing, what we want to see imputed into that new time of growth for us? What's important to us? And so we've been reflecting on this, and I love that little phrase, a fish is the last one to see the water, because when you're in something, you can't necessarily see what you're in. But it takes someone from outside the goldfish bowl sometimes to help you realize actually what you're in and what you are. But I think there are four things that describe who we are and what God is doing among us. And the first one is family. I just see something in our heart. As a church, we want to be like an extended family. The fact that we're going out bike riding this afternoon, that we're going for picnics together, just seeing you go-karting the other week together, the stories I'm hearing about different people inviting others over for supper, just, you know, someone has got, you know, a need and someone's stepping in to helping you out. And just this whole thing that church is more than a service on a Sunday, right? That we aspire to being kind of a church that's about real life relationships, about being a place where everyone can feel free to be themselves. We really, really want to be a place where we feel we can let our guards down and we can laugh together, we can have fun together. That kind of sense of having that authentic sense of love and warmth together. Just when someone comes down the aisle and just like scrums on the head, says, "Hi, Baldy," or just those little comments where like we're just like connected together, and the sense of doing life together, that sense of worshiping together, that sense of being on mission together. And I think that's one of the things that we've discovered being back here together, that God, it feels good to be in a place where we kind of know each other in the room and we can, you know, we can share life together and journey together. And I think family is what wants to be at the heart of us as a community, as a church. And I'm loving that. And I think we can really celebrate that. The second thing is that I think that is marked, beginning to has always marked us, but continues to mark us as a church, is having a tremendous sense of Jesus-centeredness. We want God to be at the heart. Obviously, we're a church, right? It's what marks us out from the Bowls Club or the Badminton Club. Like, Jesus is our connecting factor together, right? He is what defines us. He is what brings us together. It's why we are together. But we really want to be Jesus centered about what we're doing. And last Monday night's theology night, oh my goodness, we just unpacked the work and the life of the Holy Spirit and how he works in a community to draw us into more revelation of Jesus. And the prayer that's beginning to start in the fellowship. My goodness, this morning, just being in the room upstairs with people that love God and are just committing to pray every Sunday morning for an hour for you, for the town. The WhatsApp groups that are starting in the church is like, you know, like checking in with like what's happening in prayer 24/7 through the church life. You know, different WhatsApp groups, sorting different things out. There's life, guys. There's connectivity. And it's beyond our service. And we want to celebrate that among us. We want to be a community that's walking authentically and in honesty about our walk and relationship with God. We want to celebrate and experience great freedom and joy in God. We want to see the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We want to know the reality of God. And I think that's always been a mark on us. We want to be a church that loves the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. And that has always been at the core of us as a church. And this is part of our heartbeat. I love the fact that when we're singing worshiping songs to God, that when we come to the end of the lyrics, sometimes we go silent and we're waiting for the music sheets to change and the next chord to strike for the next song to sing. But sometimes there's just this overflow of love from God that I just start singing my own song to God. And it isn't just about the songs on the screen that's their revelation of God. It's an expression of my revelation to God. And that overflow of worship and just passion and love for God. And we encourage that and we love it. But we want to be strong in God. We want to be strong in the Holy Spirit. We want to be strong in the scriptures. As Jesus, read the red. Les is like, I'm reading through the red in the Bible at the moment. What is Jesus saying? We must never forget the wonder of Jesus. His story, didn't he say that there was a man that saw a pearl of great price and sold everything to get that pearl. And that was the pearl of the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added onto us. Guys, we want to be a community, and I believe we are a community that's shaped by who Jesus is, by what he's like. That's why we've been going through the book of James, and like, how does James shape who we are as a church? And we're passionate about that. And then the third thing, so family, Jesus-centered. The other thing that really resonates, I think, with us, and I'm observing, is our heart and our passion for community and the communities in which we're living. And, you know, we've begun to think about how can we connect out as a church. Earlier on, when we were like, we were kind of reforming, we went and did the beach party for the first time. And we really thought, could we do this? You know, have we got what it could take? But we just said, no, we want to go and bless our community. We want to be a blessing where you put us, God. We want to care about our neighbors. We want to be connecting into making a difference. And so, you know, the toddler group has just celebrated 25 years of just valuing tiny tots in our community. And why? Because it matters to us that we are serving our communities, and we want to be committed to that. And I love it. And you know, creative English has come out of that, and turning our building into something that connects into the community. And so as we look forward, I would just love us to be continuing to serve our communities. And I think there are going to be many ways that we're going to be able to do that. Looking to build authentic relationship and a serving heart, acts of love into our communities, working with the marginalized as well, caring about our communities. And then fourthly, we want to be about seeing lives transformed, because at the end of the day, it's the love of God, it's the life of Christ that really changes a life. And we believe that Jesus is really good news. We believe, right, that he said, I've come to give you life and life to the full. And we really do believe that. And so I think we've been really good at doing projects over the last number of years, and I get excited. You know, I love doing events. I love the buzz of the setup. I love because when we work together, we grow together. I love seeing people buzzing around stuff. It is great. And those projects have really pushed us out. We've formed new connections. We've got people liking our church in remarkable ways. So when Anya at Toddlers says, oh, next week we've got the beach party, who's coming? Everybody puts their hands up in the room. You know, we've built trust. People are putting their trust in us as a fellowship, and the stuff we do, people come to, which is great. But at the same time, I'm thinking, but it's not just about running events, is it? Jesus didn't sort of set up beach parties, although he did some pretty cool stuff. He actually started friendships. Jesus actually started connections with people. And it was really interesting that before this Macedonian call, on Sundays they would go to the synagogues. They would go to where the people were and what was kind of formulate what's happening, but in this new ground when they went to Macedonia, where there were no synagogues, like the way they'd been doing it before, it all changed because there were no synagogues. So they're like, well, where do we go? Well, let's go to where people might be. And they went, and they thought, oh, people might be praying down by the river, so let's go to the river. And so they all went, they probably took their packed lunch, they went down to the river, let's go meet some people. And they found people praying. And they went and sat with people and talked to people. And they built relationships. And you see, as a team, we're like, God, it's not enough for us as staff team just to be pushing out projects. We want to be about making disciples, right? Because Jesus said, go and do projects. Go and do amazing events. You know, he said, go and make disciples. And we can do discipling with people around our desks who sit opposite at work. We can do discipling around our close, just beginning to convey the love of God, taking an interest of people. Jesus' first contact with Peter, his first discipleship step was, Simon, I'm going to change your name to Peter. He found someone and he believed in him and said, I'm changing your name because I'm seeing something more in you than you see in yourself. Jesus was a master at bringing out greatness in people. And discipleship is about drawing others to Jesus. And we would love to do that. And so we are passionate about seeing people raised up, released to their full potential. We're excited about investing into leaders and raising up leaders, and feel that this is part of what we're called to as a church. And so the things we have been strengthening in is around family, about being Jesus-centered, passionate about our community, and transforming lives. But at the same time, we've been acknowledging there have been some restrictions, and we're really conscious that our meeting space here has begun to feel a bit squashy. So that you come in and you can't necessarily all sit together as a family on one row, that, you know, we had to split you up. Or our children's work right now, like as a church, we feel really strongly that part of our arrowhead is to invest into family life, into young families and children and youth. But right now our kids are really squashed in room 2. And we're like, oh no, this is really squashy. Lord, where do we go next? Lord, what's possible? And we feel like we want space just so we can continue to invite people to come and to know that there's space for that. And as you know, we've been on a journey to try and find a new space that's got more breakout rooms for where we want to get to and what we want to do. I guess also I've been feeling a real responsibility towards all these connections that we're making over the last 5 years with 40 families through Toddlers, arguably about another 40 families that we're connecting through with Who Let the Dads Out, and we've got these databases, and we're in connections with the people, and we email them and we let them know, but I don't really know them. And we do a family service on the first Sunday of the month, which I've been calling Taste Church, But like people aren't really coming to taste that, and so like we're doing these great stuff, but I'm like, how can I invite people onto that next step to discover Jesus? How can we do that? And I'm like, there's got to be more on this. And what we do next, where we move next, has got to continue to sow into our mission. It's got to work with us. Also, we want to celebrate the fact that our the young adults group is amazing on Friday nights, just connecting. And we need to understand that we're a church that's about professionals and supporting us. You know, this is a place of fueling that can fuel us out in our professional lives during the week. And so we're kind of looking for spaces and places that could really help this. And we want to be able to find expressions of the church that can help us best build friendships and help people find those little faith connections. And so we've been really praying and kind of thinking about this, and we've been looking at other options and possibilities. And as you know, last autumn, we began to look at Thongsley Primary School in the heart of Oxmoor. And we were like, oh, this is really interesting, because it had a hall that would be big enough for us to grow to 120, 150. And along this time, we've been praying like, Lord, what kind of church are you shaping us to be? Are we aiming to be a church of 400 and a big mega teaching center with lights and all this sort of stuff and like rah-rah? Lord, what is it that we're kind of captivated to be? But as I've looked at Huntingdon, there are no big rah-rah, big gig event venues. But what we've got is we've got lots of small community centers. We've got primary schools that are these smaller places that can probably do meeting rooms up to about 100 or 120. And I'm beginning to think, Lord, I'm loving church. Not to put any restrictions on any of you that love like the masses, but I'm loving church that feels like connected family, that feels like we're small enough to be known and to be cared for, but we also want to be big enough that we can make a difference, that we can actually do stuff of significance in the town. And so I guess there's a vision beginning to brew about, well, God, what if it we could grow to be a church of like 120, 150 in our core, and at the same time beginning to plant out these kind of smaller missional congregations that are plugged into right into the heart of their communities. And so over time, 5-10 years time, instead of being a big mega church that we've just built a huge conference center on the house, you know, on a industrial site in here, we might be a network of dynamic smaller church congregations across the region. Ramsey, you know, Hinchinbrook, Oxmoor, serving what's going up there. This network of dynamic, how of 50 to 80 people that are transforming their communities, connected in. It could be geographic, it could be network, demographically based, but us being released as leaders. Odette came to me a while back with a big dream she had about the need on Oxmoor and about, God, this is going to be a time to see some good stuff happening up there. The gospel break out in a fresh way. But then like, Claudette was like, oh, well, we're a town center church. We could never do anything up there. And so she'd sort of written it off in her head. But then that next Sunday, I began to talk about this little connection with Medway, and something could happen. So park that for a moment. So we've been exploring with them, and we also know there's a brand new community center being built across the street from where they meet and from Thongsley. And I was like, oh, that's all quite interesting. So we're curious about God is doing something new in Oxmoor. We've got about 15 households or individuals that are living north of the ring road. And we've got no expression up there. We've got no small group. We've got nothing there. And I'm just feeling like, God, you want to do something. You are doing something on Oxmoor. How can we serve into that? At the same time, we've been pushing forward some of these connections with Medway. And I think the update on that is that the honesty is I think they've got more time that they need to work out how they're emerging and what they're doing, etc. And for us, you know, finding some sort of connection, we need more time to explore what that is. But when it comes to our venue, the other week we had about 80 in this building the other Sunday. I think I was away that Sunday. And some of you could only stand at the back. The kids were like trying to look through all your legs. And they were heaving in room two. And I just, after that Sunday, I decided, we have got to move. If we stay here, we are stagnating. Already, arguably, our statistics are that we have not, our average Sundays have not gone up numerically from where we were a year ago. So arguably, we're beginning to stagnate. Although actual people connecting with us as a church is going up, our actual Sunday attendance is capping. And so I'm like, God, if we're serious about reaching families, if we're serious about doing something, we've got to move on. Now, I had another conversation with Lee, actually, when did we have that chat in the office upstairs? Oh, no, that was with Trevor. No, with me and you. It was months ago. Because it was a good time. Yes. But a number of months ago, I was sharing with Lee about, well, Lee, where are we going to find a venue? What are we not seeing? So Lee goes, I'm going to go and do a scout around the town. I'm going to find what we've got. And he came back with the lodge at Hinchinbrook School Park. Do you remember? And in fact, you've been in touch with them, hadn't you? And said, what deal could you do for us to meet there? Anyway, we looked into it. Rich and I went down, and we there's no way, unfortunately, with all the space there, there's no way we could be there as a whole church. But it was just interesting. We've started doing some of our Who Let the Dads Out stuff down there, and some of our other family stuff. And we now keep going down there because we just love the space. And families in the town often go to Hinchinbrook Park because it's a place to go. It's like, let's go down to the river. It's like, let's go down to Hinchinbrook Park. It's where people hang out. And we're finding like a really good connection point. Well, whilst we're thinking, God, have you got something for us, you know, in Oxmoor and maybe connecting in there? Now, Amy collars me and says, Tim, have you thought about Hinchinbrook School? And I was like, no, Amy, yes, we have thought about Hinchinbrook School. Well, that was the first place I contacted. When we were looking at a venue, it was like, could we go back to the PAC? Well, not the PAC, but could we? Is there something up there? And our inquiries on the main site was like, no, because the bookings are so booked up, there's no way we get regular Sundays up there, and it wasn't going to work. But months later, Naomi came back saying, your boss, who is a governor there, was saying to Naomi, have your church really thought about Hinchinbrook School? And so I said to Trevor, we've got to honour Naomi. She's really thinking about something here. We'll at least go and have a look. So Trevor goes off, and perhaps there were one or two ideas at the school up there. But what was of interest was that they said, "Have you thought about the Hinchinbrook Cromwell, the primary school that's now up there, not too far from Trevor and Jane?" Oh, that's a coincidence. Yes, yes. So we're like, oh, this is interesting. But we kind of still got this, Thongsley's still an option, it's still open. But then we're thinking, oh, what about this? And so, in brief, I want to say that we went to visit that new venue this last week, on Thursday morning. And I don't know, it's really interesting. Basically, they were really welcoming of us. They were like, we're invited to come in, have a look. And I don't know, it's not perfect in everything, but what we have realized is that there's about four or five churches all working into the Oxmoor area, but there's no church up on Hinchinbrook. It's like this massive estate, and there's no church expression up there. And then I'm thinking, well, and then we're kind of beginning to think, oh, this is interesting. We began to look at lots more of our family stuff as we want to earth more of it up at Hinchinbrook in the park. And then we're thinking about our family services, and we're thinking about, as a church, wherever we want to move next, we want to be able to plant something that we can maybe leave a community there after 2 to 3 years and maybe then go and start another community somewhere else. And so we're just beginning to pray and think about, Lord, could Hinchinbrook and the Cromwell be a very viable option for us? But at the same time, still keeping curious about Medway and the team there, that, and how can we help support what they're doing? How could that connect? And so I, for months, have been saying, Lord, I'd love some options to put on the table to say, Lord, is it that? Is it that? And we've had nothing. But in the last week, suddenly, it feels like we could do. And so the Lord's doing some exciting, you know, the kingdom's alive in Huntingdon right now. He always has been, but the kingdom has been advancing. But there's activity in every church. There's a renewal going on. And we want to be connecting into kind of what's God doing next in the town. We don't want to crowd in where he's already working. We're happy to explore new things. But we also want to be open to exploring new relationships and new connections. And so I guess I'm sharing this is that we would love to put ourselves into a place where we can make a difference. We have thought, are we a town center church? Are we a gathered church? We are kind of gathered, and we are gathered. And yet, we don't not necessarily have to be defined by being a town center church. We feel that we're a church for Huntingdon. We feel we're a church for the region. And we would love to get behind God doing things in a multiplicity, in multiple different ways in different places over the years. And so I want to hold before you these four values of us being family, of being about loving God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, being passionate about God, being passionate about community and serving communities. You know, if it's to Thongsley that we go, we want to say, God, we want to make a difference in that place. But we could still make a difference in that place. If it's Hinchinbrook, God, it's a place we meet so we can grow as a core congregation to continue to make disciples, to continue to be resourced, to make the difference in our workplaces, in our places where we do life, and to grow that core, you know, the core congregation of who we are. And we need the space for that. And we could potentially find the space for that at Cromwell, or we could potentially do that quite happily down at Thongsley. But I want to hold before you saying, can you help us pray through which of those potentially we should walk down? And we, as a team, we're going to be making the call on that. So it's not like we don't know what to do, but we're still fact-finding to say, Lord, you know, which angle should we have? How does this look? And we feel that if Medway need more time, then it will be honoring to give them space to kind of flourish what they're doing, and we can serve them in different ways. But maybe Hinchinbrook is something for us there as well. I think we're going to be moving location around mid-autumn. We need the summer to pray, to investigate more together, to ratify decisions. We need September to reconvene and to re-push forward. But we have got to move, so we've got the space for God to bring in what he's doing. And we're excited about the options ahead of us either way. And I'd love to ask to hold those values before you and say, do they resonate with us? Are they things that we could lean into as a church? But also, could you pray with us and for us about leadings, about those different directions? And we will be following up with more conversations around this over the coming weeks and over the coming months. And we will keep you updated. But we just wanted to kind of put you in the picture. Bye, guys. We're almost finished. So we feel really excited. Although that may find like lots of things hanging in the air, I work well with that. And I feel like God's in all these connections. And we're saying, Lord, we want to pursue what you're doing because we want to work in partnership and collaboratively with people. We want to be making a difference wherever we are. We want to be a church that's putting our faith into action. We want to be about relationships, and we want to be about what going on the journey all together. And I think that's really important. And so if you've got fears, if you've got questions, if you've got doubts, please come and talk to us. If you've got inspiration and ideas, because we're still open to God opening up something else that we just have not seen yet. If you're like, oh, Tim, have you not gone and seen that venue yet? We're still open, but we're holding it before the Lord, and we're holding it before you guys. Trevor, is that probably enough said? Yes. Good. So, we will give more details as we go, but should we just stand together as we close?